Good day, and welcome to the Vienna International Airport Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Judith Helleney. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for the conference call. If you need the presentation, you can download it from our homepage. This presentation will be held by Mr. Ofner, CFO, and Mr. Jäger, COO. As we've already mentioned before, there will be a Q&A session afterwards, and now I would like to hand over to Mr. Ofner. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would start to give you some highlights on our first 6 months. We saw a slight decline in the number of passengers, respectively minus 1.7%. What is a little bit specific about the development is that we see a slight plus of 0.6 in local passengers, and the reduction mainly comes from transit passengers. There are a lot of different reasons that have jeopardized these first 6 months. It was a very severe winter. There have been strikes in Germany. We saw capacity reductions and long-distance plane refurbishment on airline side. And including July, we had a 0.1% reduction in our passenger numbers. But overall, we still confirm our guidance of minus 1 to plus 1 for full year. We fortunately had growth in our revenue, which has different sources. The adjustment of the security fee, increased income in different areas, and especially higher income from the icing services, which was caused by very heavy snow conditions. And what we want to line out is that despite substantially higher costs through the winter, I mean, the icing material, overtime payment, and especially transport costs for snow and all that stuff. And despite the full operation of check-in 3, we could maintain a high cost discipline, and this finally is reflected in our EBITDA increase of 10.2%. What I want to add is that partly this EBITDA growth is also triggered by special effects, which are not very substantial piece by piece, but sum up to maybe half of the EBITDA growth. And especially I would point to the fact that we received additional damage payment, 1.1 million for check-in 3, that we successfully concluded a court case which contributed 1.3 million, and we had also a positive effect of our incentive scheme, so the reduced passenger numbers on the transit passenger also reduced the incentives we offer to the airlines. In the case of EBIT, we see 59.4 million, which is 13% less than last year. But what we have to stress in this aspect is that more than 23 million of depreciation adds from check-in 3. So we could more or less digest that additional burden and the reduction in EBIT is quite a small piece of that. And there is also one special effect in regard of interest. We capitalized in the first quarter of last year interest for Checking 3, which was around 5 million, and this is increasing our debt burden, and net profit after minorities is reduced to 16.6, which amounts to 40.9 million. What I would add is fairly above we originally expected to get half in year. What you see in our net debt position is that fortunately total costs for Checking 3 could be further reduced, and better results contributed to a net debt position of 683 end of June, which almost is the target for full year, and which improved our gearing, and the development to a certain extent should continue throughout the full year, so that we could end up even below that figure end of the year. And the low interest environment also helps us to substantially improve finally our financial result. We also saw after reviewing our plans that we can reduce the guidance for total investment to roughly 100 million from previously 115 million, and also our free cash flow position substantially improved compared to last year, last period. Last but not least, the biggest project of the first 6 months was the renovation of our runway with a total amount of roughly 28 million, which was successfully completed. Only the grooving work will have to be completed later this year. And for the traffic results, I hand over to my colleague, Julian Jäger.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Regarding our traffic results in the first half of 2013, we have a reduction of 1.7% in our passengers, mainly driven due to reductions in transfer passengers, a significant minus of 6.4%. Flight movements decreased by 6.4% as well, and the MTOW decreased by 5.1%. Cargo, including trucking, decreased by 6.2%, and one positive point, the load factor increased significantly up to 70.5% by 2.8 percentage points. The main driver of this reduction in both passenger numbers and more significantly flight movements was capacity cuts by Austrian Airlines and Niki. Niki mainly due to the change in strategy, and overall the significant capacity cuts by Air Berlin. The reduction of Austrian Airlines capacity was due to a certain extent driven by the reduction in their long-haul fleet due to the effect that so far this year there was always one long-haul aircraft out of operation due to refurbishments. There were some other effects, obviously the quite severe winter and some strikes in Germany, but the main driver was definitely the capacity cuts. What one can see as well is that to a certain extent the significant reduction in transfer traffic is a base effect as well. Until the end of July in 2012, we saw very significant growth rates in transfer traffic, double-digit growth rates. and there was a trend visible starting from August, where there was a reduction in transfer traffic or a very just very small growth rates. Yeah, this is reflected obviously as well in the results of our airlines on slide 4. Austrian Airlines Group had a reduction of 2.8% in the first half of 2013. Both Lufthansa and Germanwings had growth. Obviously, Germanwings quite significant growth due to the fact that they took over a number of routes from Lufthansa. And overall, the Lufthansa Group had a minus of 2.5% and a market share of a bit more than 60%. More significant reductions we saw with Niki, 8.5% reduction in passenger numbers with Niki, and 5.7% from Air Berlin. Total Air Berlin Group, a minus of 7.5%, mainly due to the reduction of capacity to Southeastern Europe. The biggest gainer in so far this year was Turkish Airlines, a very significant growth of more than 50%, and decent growth from British Airways and Emirates, and the other airlines increased by 2.1%. And now I would hand over again to Günther regarding our detailed financial results.
We more or less covered the main figures. It's plus 11 million in revenue. It's also plus 11 in EBITDA. It's additionally 23 million depreciation. So this is converted in minus 9 million for EBIT. You see the incremental improvement in the financial results, because it's minus 2.7, but it was double cost differentiated to last year. And finally, net profit is minus 8 million, less than last year. So I think these figures show that in more or less all positions, we could improve our position, and the higher depreciation has been to a high degree digested and offset by the financial results. What is also remarkable, I think, is that we could increase cash flow from operating activities plus 12, and especially free cash flow from 22 to 68, so plus 45 million, what helps us to further reduce our net debt position. CapEx was more or less equal to last year, and as it is the result of these figures, we see an increase in equity and also in equity ratio. I think I covered already parts of the expenses side. So what we have to digest is substantially higher expenses for the icing material and all that stuff that is connected with this part. Fortunately, despite higher costs for the winter, we could stabilize our personal expenses. And as you might be aware, we have agreed a wage freeze in the period May 13 to May 14. So also for the rest of the year, we should be able to maintain a cost discipline on that side. And remarkable also is the reduction in other operating expansions. expenses. We have several positive effects, especially what I already mentioned. We have a reduction in marketing and market communication, and also in leasing and rental expenses. And last year we had some impairment charges for receivables, which was not the case this year. The gearing was improved to 78.4, what is simply reflected the reduction in net debt. And from the financial management, we changed long-term debt into short-term debt to get the advantage of the current environment and low interest rates, and we don't see major exposure from our financing side for the next years, because as you might be aware, we still maintain our 400 million fixed loan for now 18 more years from European Investment Bank, and we successfully renewed the collaterals for the next 3 to 5 years. Unfortunately, to a little bit higher cost than so far, but successfully we could cover all 400 million. And for the near future, there are no risks from that side. Cash flow and CapEx I already covered, and I think we should maybe slightly come to the current projects. Renovation of runway was successfully concluded, and for the rest, I hand over to Mr. Jäger.
Thank you. Yeah, the modernization of our infrastructure and the increase in service quality is going on. One thing what didn't work as we had planned out was the opening of the new shops. In general, I would say that we lost one quarter on average for each and every shop later than planned. We were a bit too optimistic regarding the negotiation process and the actual finishing and fit-out of the shops, which led as well to the fact that we won't reach our 2.10 revenue per passenger target for 2013. From today's point of view, it's more likely that we stagnated something like 190 to 195, and we will see then in 2014 to a certain extent the effects of all the new shops. We have in the last 6 months opened 22 new shops, and we are going to open a further 11 shops in the second half of 2013. We will finish the renovation of Plaza most probably in the first quarter of 2014, which includes then a change in the setup of the duty-free shop in the old part of the terminal to a fully-fledged walk-through duty-free shop. Arcade should be finished by the end of this year with a new Burger King and some other outlets. And the renovation and changing concept of Pier West should be finished by summer 2014. So the big bulk of the changes will be implemented until the end of this year. But the first clean year, in a way, in a completely new shopping layout, in particular in the old part of the terminal, will be 2015. All the other projects, like the completion of the intercity rail station, is on track, and there are no major things to report at this point in time. We are as well still working on our plans for Terminal 2. The evaluation of the project alternatives is still in progress. We don't expect a decision to be taken before 2014, and the earliest start of any investment would not happen before 2016. So we are in an advanced stage of the development of the project, but we wouldn't start to plan before 2014, and there would not be any capex before 2016. Maybe Günther, do you want to add one or two words on real estate? I think that's not news. Yeah, regarding the traffic forecast, we stick to our forecast for 2013 with -1 to +1 percent in passenger numbers, whereby admittedly we probably will rather end up at the low end of this guidance. Despite the reduction in July, we still think that we will be somewhere around the -1%. We already saw in July a positive trend in respect of cargo. We have two new airlines, now Cargolux and Etihad Cargo are both operating a one weekly. Cargolux probably expanding to a two weekly. And there are some small positive news on routes. Alitalia will start in October, a double daily to Milan Linate. And it seems that Austrian Airlines is on track, on the one hand in respect of the refurbishment program, and on the other hand in respect of the purchase or lease of a new 777 starting from June 2014. So we expect that Austrian Airlines would have on average next year 1.5 long-haul aircraft more. It should have a positive effect then as well on transfer traffic, given that long-haul flights have on average a more than 50% market share of transfer passengers. Regarding the flight movements, we expect to end the year somewhere between -4% and -6%, and MTW we expect a slight decline, but already the July and what we've seen so far from August, it looks much more positive than the result of the first 6 months of this year.
Yeah, so finally we can confirm our financial guidance for 2013. From the revenue side, in the case that the number of passengers should stay in the minus area, revenues could be slightly below 625, as we guided so far. EBITDA, I think we can confirm that we can reach plus 230 million. Net profit should in any case exceed 65 million. And as already explained, our net debt position could end up even fairly below 680 million. What would bring us a little bit closer to our midterm goal of not more than 2.5 EBITDA net debt. And also adjustment of CAPEX to roughly 100 million. I mean, it's not good news on the one hand that we have less flight movements. On the other hand, it is insofar good news as it definitely shifts potential shortage in runway capacity down in time pieces. So any need for an additional runway definitely will be shifted several years down the timetable, which from this perspective I think can be considered as good news, and which in any case will positively influence the cash position and financial position of the company in the following years, and maybe
prior to questions from your side, there is no new information regarding the legal proceedings. We still have to wait what the procedure in the second instance will bring, and we cannot foresee right now when a decision will be taken. So I think that's the presentation from our side, and please feel free to ask your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our system. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. We'll now take our first question from Alex Brignall from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I just have two quick ones. Firstly, just in terms of the outstanding legal claims from Terminal 3, could you possibly tell us what the blue sky would be if you were to win all of those, so just the outstanding claims that you have that could come through? Secondly, just looking at the EBIT split within the divisions and then going through to H2, and you touched on this briefly with the one-offs, but within the other division, could you just tell us what we should expect for H2, because clearly there were some one-off elements to that number in H1. Thank you very much.
Yeah, to your first question, we are just in the final stage of a mediation process for the main issue for check-in 3. And from our perspective, we should know the latest end of September of this year whether we can come to an out-of-court settlement or we will have to go to court. And I apologize and beg your ask for your understanding that it is a very sensitive phase right now, so I don't want to speculate about sums, but as already explained in previous calls and discussions with analysts, if we would decide for an out-of-court settlement, it would have to be a substantial amount contributing to a cost reduction of check-in 3, because if we cannot reach that in negotiations, we definitely would have to go to court. But please understand that I don't want to give you any detailed figure right now. Your questions in regard of others? Segment others?
Alex, did you mean what's included in the segment others, or did you mean...
Yes, the yes, exactly, please.
Okay. Give us, please, 5 minutes. We'll get back to you in a minute. Can we go?
Okay, no problem. That's fine.
We'll now take our next question from Andy Jones from RBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just had a question. I guess it was probably exploring the same themes as Alex's question, but could you explain how much of the change in the OPEX in Q2 is sustainable? I think historically we've seen about a 7% increase Q2 on Q1 in the cost base, and this quarter obviously it went, it didn't rise anywhere near as much as that. How much of that can you keep going into H2, and were there any kind of provisions or one-offs in H2 last year as well?
Maybe what you see as an effect is that in the second quarter last year we had the opening of check-in 3, so there have been a lot of additional OPEX expenses exactly in this quarter last year. So from today's perspective, I would say a high percentage of the reduction in Q2 2013 should be sustainable. Because quarter one this year was also not representative, because we had 5 or 6 million higher expenses for the icing material, We had additional transportation costs, fuel costs, overtime payment for the winter. So the first quarter had higher OPEX than normalized, but I would say the second quarter is somehow representative, yeah.
Okay, so of the 8 million euro reduction year on year, you think that that can repeat again in Q3 and Q4?
I mean, maybe not to 100%, but to a very high percentage, I would say, from today's perspective, yes.
Okay, and then I just had two other kind of quick questions as well. Firstly, on Terminal 2, what kind of considerations are you, what are the key metrics about which solution you might go for with that? And then secondly, given the delays to the runway which you just mentioned, how does that kind of impact upon your thinking around the dividend in the medium term, I guess, once you reach your 2.5 times target? Thank you.
Yeah, let me start with Terminal 2. So the how we look at this project from today's point of view, having said that, I have to clarify that we have not gone to our board yet, so this is in a way work in progress. Essentially, we are developing a long-term plan which most likely will not be implemented in one go. So what we are defining now is the perfect terminal design for 35 to 40 million passengers here in Vienna, and then we are working back. And admittedly, the challenges tend to phase out this development. As I said, we still have to connect the old part and the new part of the terminal on the air side. So this is definitely one of the first parts of the project, the challenging part, as I said, is the phasing. And my best guess today would be that we would go into this project, which would in total probably last 10 years, in two or three phases. And this is one of the reasons why we don't expect significant capex in the next 3 to 5 years, definitely not before 2016, and we expect the current terminal layout to be still existent in the next 5 years. So the changes we are doing right now in the old part of the terminal, in Plaza and in Pier West, Pier West would remain anyway as it is. But even in Plaza, would be definitely in operation for 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, coming back to your question, if I understood it right, to our dividend policy, I think we still can confirm what we said so far, that our goal is to offer 40% payout ratio in regard of our net profit for the coming periods, especially as long as we have not reached a 2.5 time EBITDA net debt position.
Okay, thank you. My question was more about what happens when you do get to 2.5 times, especially since you now see kind of a less pressing need for your capital to be spent on the runway.
Let me put it that side. Let's cross the bridge when we come there. So I think it's a little bit too early to give you more guidance on our dividend policy. I mean, once we come there and we see what the necessities in regard of investments are, we will maybe reconsider the dividend policy. In general, you could assume that if the financial situation of the company improves, that this would allow us more room also on the dividend side.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear.
We'll now take our next question from Nick Edelman from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, everyone. I've got two questions, please. First is just on the CapEx guidance for this year. The reduction in guidance, is that a timing shift into 2014 and 15, or is that a reduction in your CapEx guidance for 2011 to 15? And the second question is, on Terminal 2, just to follow up, I've read on some of the news wires that you've spoken about CapEx of 150 to 250 million relating to Terminal 2. Is that figure correct, and is that sort of phase one of three, or does that refer to more than one of the two or three phases?
Yeah, starting with your question regarding CapEx, it's mainly a reduction. It's to a very minor extent a shift. And the reduction has different sources, so projects have been cancelled, and partly it's also due to the fact that we could further reduce CAPEX and rest CAPEX for check-in 3. In regard of cost Terminal 2, I think it's too early to confirm any figure. The first step is to evaluate the different alternatives, and then we will discuss with our supervisory board, and mainly I would say first half of 2014 we will know more details. In any case, you cannot expect any CAPEX in regard of measures connected with Terminal 2 before 2016. And realistically, even if we would start in 2016, I think we could not spend very much money in the first year, because normally you have to do a lot of preparation work. So whatever finally as CAPEX will be necessary will have to be divided to 4, maybe 5, even more years, and is not very likely to start with a bulk in 16. But you will have and get more details once we have evaluated the alternatives and made up our mind in what directions we will move forward.
Can I just ask one follow-up there? When you said in an earlier answer that the current terminal layout is likely to remain for the next 5 years or so, does that mean that you've ruled out a sort of demolition and reconstruction, or is that still possible in different phases?
I said that because the most likely option from today's point of view, and I'm repeating, this is a process which is not finished yet, the most likely way forward would be that we start to build an extension before knocking down anything. Before these additional buildings would be built, there would not be a demolition of anything. So that's why my guess best today would be that today's setup would remain here for the next 5 years, because we would not be in a position to knock down the current Terminal 2 terminal before that.
Sure, makes sense. Thanks very much.
Good. Okay, thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Daniel Ruvio from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi there, good afternoon. This is Daniel Ruvio from Morgan Stanley. Two questions, please. The first one on retail. You've given some sort of range in terms of what you expect to reach on revenue per retail revenue per passenger for 2013. I think that implies a bit of an acceleration from the current trends. Can you tell us what you expect to see in 2014? Do you have a new target for 2014, given the number of shops continue to increase? I'm wondering also what percentage of the space is now filled, and how it is going to, what that number is going to be at the end of the year and the end of next year. And second question on traffic, specifically on July traffic. Is there anything that's bringing or having a negative impact on the July traffic figure? And I wonder whether it might have been impacted by Ramadan, and also because I think Middle Eastern traffic was down around 15%. Thank you.
Yeah, let me start with question two. You're right. Ramadan definitely had had an impact, and we saw it on the Emirates figures as well in July. We had there was a base effect as well with the very positive Austrian Airlines result in July last year. And obviously the turmoil in Egypt didn't help as well. So I think there were some developments or changes versus last year, which probably had a negative impact on the July results. Regarding your first question, I would not want to give any new target for 2014 before January. Obviously, we now have to see how all those new shops perform. Today, we have 90% of the available space in operation. We will open another 5% until the end of this year. Then next year there might be positive and negative effects, because obviously when we refurbish Pier West in the first 6 months of next year, there will be shops closed and opening again. So there's always a bit of shifts there. So what we do now, in particular after the a bit disappointing figures from the first 6 months, to evaluate the situation, and we'll give you a new guidance for 2014 in January. Definitely we expect an increase given the situation that we will have significantly more shops open for a full year. But to which extent, I would ask you to wait until January.
All right, thank you very much.
We'll now take our next question from Joseph Thomas from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Most of mine have been asked now, but just a couple more on some detail, if you wouldn't mind. The first thing is operating cash flow. Could you just perhaps just provide a little bit more detail about how we're getting from the EBITDA line down to the operating cash flow number that you're reporting? The second thing is on, just to come back to the issue about cost cutting and the cost outperformance that you've seen in the first half. Can you just remind us, wasn't the major reduction in employee costs sort of second half weighted last year, so we should see sort of less of a delta as we approach the second half of this year? And then the final thing is... just about the incentives, could you just be a little bit more explicit about what's happened to your incentive programs there and what those discounts now stand at? Thanks.
Yeah, let me start with your last question. There was a significant reduction in the incentive program, mainly due to one-offs last year. And this was the main reason. The structure as such has not changed. So what happened was that there were, on the one hand, some effects because of a reduction in transfer traffic. So that's why this was one part. And the other part is were one-offs paid out last year.
Could you quantify that, please?
You have to give me a sec to specify and to quantify that. Now the Unterschied.
Three million.
Marketing. Give me a few minutes, I have to...
Yeah, sure.
So, regarding cash flow, I mean, we have 51 million as a result before taxes, 61 million depreciation. There you see the biggest deviation. It's 22 million more
than last year. Then we have slight differences in regard of receivables, and we reduced accruals, and this results in roughly 12% higher net cash flow of ordinary of operation. Reduced by tax payments of 4.6, so only the cash component of taxes is accrued, is net cash flow from ordinary expenses is 93.1 million. And for investments, we paid out 35 million. We received 10 million from the repayment of a loan. So net cash flow from investing activities was 24.8. We paid out 22 million for the dividend. We reduced our financial liabilities by 79 million. So net cash flow from financing activities was minus 101. A reduction of cash, 33 million. And given the cash position at the end of the period with 7 million, results in a free cash flow of 68, which is a plus of 45 million compared with the first 6 months of last year. Regarding cost cutting, I mean, it's a very complex issue because there are positive and negative effects. I mean, in any case, what I think is the real main achievement is that we added 150,000 square meters terminal capacity by opening check-in 3, but only slightly increased our total operating expenses. So we digested more or less the expenses of the additional terminal building by cost-reducing measures all over the company. So if you compare absolute figures, you see only slight effects. But if you go in depth, I mean, you see major changes and progress in almost all fields. So the real productivity gain was to digest this additional infrastructure without substantially increasing total costs. And if you ask what of these cost savings is sustainable, I would assume that the real major part of it will be sustainable, because even if we would have growth in passengers and so on in the next years, what we expect, I think we will not be in the position to substantially expand our workforce or to substantially increase our OPEX for that purposes. So I think we really have been successful to lower the basis. And looking at net results, and the additional roughly 50 million of depreciation for check-in 3, you see that it is a very substantial amount that has been saved by hundreds of different initiatives and measures.
May I come back to your other question regarding incentives? It's a bit more complex looking at the detail, because what we've done last year that we've increased the transfer incentive significantly to €12.50. But on the other hand, we've increased as well the security tariff to €7.70, both for local and transfer passengers. So we had, in actual fact, an increase in the transfer incentive due to the increase in the absolute amount of the transfer incentive, but less than we expected due to the reduction in passenger numbers. And on the other hand, we had this increase in the security tariff, which we implemented last year in about June, and we had roughly 7 million one-offs in the first half of this year, which then improves this year's overall turnover as well. So there are a number of effects which go in both directions.
Sorry, just to be clear, that the 7 million of one-offs benefit this year's numbers, and we shouldn't be expecting a repeat in the second half. Is that the message here?
It depends on the passenger development and on the structure. I mean, if transit passengers would continue to decline and local passengers would grow, this would have a different impact as if it would be vice versa. Because the profitability of local passengers is substantially higher than of transit passengers due to the higher transfer incentive which is paid for transit passengers.
So it's not really one-off then, it's part of the underlying business.
No, it's not simply one-off, it's a little bit more complex.
And there were one-offs in the second half of last year as well, so to a certain extent there will be this effect again.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So we definitely will see some relief from the incentive side even in the end of the year.
It was not totally, the one-offs were not totally paid out in the first half of last year, but they were in the second half of last year as well.
Okay, thanks.
We'll now take our next question from Johannes Braun from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Johannes Braun, Commerzbank. I have two questions, actually, and one is a follow-up on the retail business. And you already mentioned that in terms of retail revenues, you're a little bit behind schedule because of delays in renting out the retail space. And the question would just be what really caused that delay. I know that you had this insolvency last year of one important client, but still, given the attractiveness of the retail space, one could have expected that this retail space is rented out earlier. So probably if you could provide a little bit more detail on that. And the second one is just, I read in your quarterly report that you were able to reschedule some loans on more favorable interest rates. And question here would be, what would be the impact on your interest costs? So what would probably be the average interest you are paying going forward? Thank you.
Maybe starting with your last question, we substantially reduced our interest burden by changing durations. And you see the difference in the first half, more or less, if you look at our financial results, because we had an impact of last year's capitalization of more than 5 million, and the financial results in total are only 2.7 million behind. And most of this will be sustainable also for the second half of the year. And given the period end of June 13, we have a total average rate of interest of 3.58%, which I think is fairly fine. So the long-term interest is 4.11 in average, and the short term is 1.23. So in total, 3.58 end of June.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah, regarding your first question, there are a couple of reasons which in the end led to the delay of roughly a quarter. Essentially, we were too optimistic in respect of the negotiations with the future tenants. We came up with a completely new, having the experience from last year's bankruptcy. We changed the contract quite significantly, and this obviously was something which had to be discussed and negotiated in partly long-winded discussions. So in this respect, we were too optimistic, and essentially there's not one reason, but from our concept over the tender to the negotiation of the contract and to the construction works within the new outlets. So essentially, the reason was different on the shops, but essentially, the message is we were too optimistic, and this is something where we will be more conservative in the future when we come up with projections.
So you mean too optimistic in terms of prices, I guess, in terms of concession rates?
No, we are very happy
with
the timing. We were too optimistic. When we came up last year with our projection of €2.10, and obviously this was based on our budget, we were too optimistic on the timing when the shops would be open. So now we had to find out in the first 6 months of this year that the shops opened on average at least a quarter later than we expected, and that's why we don't reach this year's target. So in respect of the contract and concession fees, this is absolutely in line with our expectations.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Brent Maurer from RCB. Please go ahead. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hello, good afternoon. Two questions from my side. One, again, refers to the OPEX side. Just briefly to clarify, of the both taking both effects together, you had positive one-offs in your OPEX of €2.4 million. Were those two effects booked in the second quarter or in the first quarter?
2.4.
It's the conclusion of the legal proceedings of 1.3 and claims for damages of 1.1. Did this happen in 2Q or in 1Q?
1.1 was in the first quarter.
1.1 in the first quarter and the 1.3 in the second quarter.
Exactly.
Thank you. And the second question to the third runway. Previously, when we spoke, Mr. Ofner and discussed this matter, Rada said we can expect the third runway to go operational perhaps in 2022 2023. Given your comments at the beginning of the conference call, you think that the current traffic environment will lead to a further delay of those schedule, or is this something we can still put in our calculations?
That's a $100,000 question. Yeah. I mean, we don't have...
Maybe it's a long... It's 10 years from now, I know. Yeah.
Magic to really see what exactly the next years will bring.
Yeah.
There are a lot of indications, for example, in regard of changes in the fleet of Austrian Airlines. And generally, if you look at the airlines, that there might be some more years with the deviation of positive passenger growth versus stagnation or even minus in flight movements. And what we always said, and what is inevitably to look at this matter, is that we will not take the decision to start this investment unless
we have clear indications about the necessities and the respective number of flight movements and growth that is a basis for an investment decision. Because without that, we could not build up a positive business plan. So let's see. I mean, we can, I said already once today, we can only cross the bridge when we come there.
Yeah.
And I think we need some more visibility in regard of flight movements and traffic developments in the forthcoming years, unless we will be able to make a timetable what to indicate when a decision could be made.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions in the queue.
In this case, I would like to thank you for dialing into our conference call. Should you have any other questions which are not yet answered, then please feel free to get back to us. We will be also available, of course, for the open topic of the other segments results. So if anybody else is interested in the final answer, I'm happy to answer it. I'll be available. Nothing more to say. Should you have any other questions, we're always at your service. Thank you for dialing in. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.